You're listening to Bigfoot, Ground Zero, the science behind the sighting. To contact the show, email BigfootGroundZero@gmail.com.
You are listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero, and as promised, I wanted to bring Chris Spencer back. We just had him on the last episode. If you haven't heard that one, go back and take a listen. There were a multitude of sounds in an event that happened while he and Shane Corzine and some other folks were around the campfire in a research area to be unnamed. But this is a follow-up episode. I wanted to talk about some of the things that Chris has found in the field, some of the sounds specifically that we're going to talk about. And you will hear a what we call a classic howl, reminiscent of the Bigfoot howl, or the Ohio howl, to be specific. And then we're going to play some audio that Chris has titled Mr. Grumpy Pants, but it is clearly something speaking. He caught it in his X1 research area. Still don't know what it is. We think could be the target subjects, but we'll talk about that. And then we'll play some other sounds. We'll go through just kind of a catalog of what we have. I'll play a series of whistles that Chris recorded that are very strange and one tone, but in multiple pitches as they start and stop. So we'll get into that. But enough about I know I've been setting this up, Chris, but what's going on with you in the last 48 hours since we haven't spoken?
Oh, wow. Me and Rebecca are researching a new area and some crazy cool stuff that we can talk about at a later date is happening.
Yeah, and you guys actually potentially found a track, right? You cast something. You don't have results yet, but you cast it?
Yeah, we cast something.
Well, you know what's funny is a lot of times people, these things have the right shape and they have the right size and you find them. And then how often do you, with your research and with other researchers that you know, pull the print and go, I just can't get anything discernible out of this. I know what I think it is, but there's just nothing there.
Honestly, I don't cast a lot. I kick myself for not casting some stuff that I've found in the past. I've actually found some stuff with Shane Corson in the past in another area, and we both kick ourselves for not casting it. Because a lot of times you find these impressions, and I know for me and most of the people I work with, I start second-guessing myself, saying, it's just an anomaly. It's not a Bigfoot track or this and that. I talk myself out of stuff being tracks all the time. And this particular one recently, though, I couldn't talk myself out of, so we actually cast it. But there's a lot of impressions out in the woods, and the 9 times out of 10, the ground is not conducive for casting anyways. So you find a lot of stuff in moss, find a lot of stuff in pine needles. Most of the areas I go in, the ground is layers of pine needles, layers of moss, so...
Yeah, it's crazy up there in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, finding a dry patch of ground is like, it's like next to impossible, you know? Finding a place to set your tent where it's not going to soak through the bottom is possible.
Perfect tracks. You want to look in, and I do regularly when I can. If there's a water source, always, especially this time of year, is a good time to go check sandbars and marshy areas where there's material that is going to get more than an impression. It'll get details like toes and stuff like that. And I just haven't been fortunate enough to find something like that in those areas. But I've found these other impressions in other areas. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Eventually you're going to... Now, you got what I would consider the holy grail of Bigfoot sounds. And I know when we spoke about this sound you grabbed a couple of years ago, and we were able to kind of tease some sound out of it and get away from some of these offending frequencies, so to speak. to get the true sound to come out. That is the most exciting thing I've ever heard in a recording. Maybe you're jaded at this point, but talk to us about where that came from, not specifically, but, you know, your research area, what time of night that was. You know, give me the gist of when you were going through the audio and looking at things. You know, what made you excited? Because, dude, that's like one of the best recordings I've ever heard.
Oh, it's still one of my best. I've gotten howls before, but I can't. I'm on the fence with them. Most of them I end up leaning towards canine, but canines have a cadence. This one does not have a canine cadence, and it's probably my all-time best suspect howl I've ever recorded. So what it was in 2018, Rebecca and I regularly in the spring, that howl occurs in May, we're going into X1 in the evening. So we liked going in the evenings because right at dusk is when stuff happens. And we actually, prior to this howl, had gone in and got whistled at. So we were regularly going in at dusk. We'd set up audio. We'd hiked back out to our rig, and it was right at dusk when we got to the rig. And all of a sudden, the coyotes go off, and they're just yipping and doing what coyotes do. And I look over at Rebecca. She's on the passenger side. I'm on the driver's side. So we're standing out, unloading our gear, and we both laugh. Oh, the coyotes. And throw our gear in the freaking car, jump in, and take off. Well, 2 minutes later, something else started howling. If we'd stayed there two more minutes, we would have heard it in person. But it actually howled four times. The first howl was the closest, and I suspect, because when an animal makes a call, when its head's turned towards the recorder, it's going to sound louder. When it turns away, it'll sound further away. So I suspect it had its head turned towards my recorder. Mind you, the recorder from where we left was closer to the howl, so we might not have heard it. Anyways, so the first howl is the loudest, and there's three more after it, but they're steadily further away. Like the last one's the furthest away. So I think this thing was on the move. Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I just thought of that actually. it was probably on the move because I haven't looked at these in a while. It's been since 2018. And yep. They were what I looked at a lot. But so the last howl is a lot more distant than the first three. The first one's the one we're going to listen to, and it was the closest. And yeah, it's definitely not a canine. I actually, at that time, I hijacked a bunch of gray wolf calls from Macaulay Library Sound, and I did a bunch of comparison clips. I put them up next to each other on spectrogram, and they are definitely nothing alike. First off, just visually, they look nothing alike, and I mean, hertz wise, they're different. And so, I'm fairly confident it wasn't a gray wolf in Southwest Washington. And yeah.
Dude, I've listened to that, and you can't get any closer to what I think the Ohio howl, like what it represents. But when you look at this on Sonic Visualizer, and I'm surprised you left this out, but I looked at it, and talk about the hertz range this is in, and also the signature, the way it comes up gradually, and then it's just it perfectly planes across, and then comes back down. Talk about that a little bit, and we'll go ahead and play the sound after that.
I don't have it in front of me right now. I don't know exact hertz on that particular call to mine, but I know it's between 600 and 800 hertz. That's our target area for suspect calls. And you hit on something that's key. Almost even calls that aren't howls, almost every kind of vocalization that I consider suspect, it does that. Comes up and then it flattens out. It's like it just flattens out. It always looks different than, you know, other animals. So when you're looking at it visually on a spectrogram, you'll see it right away. If I see something that comes up and then just flattens out, before I even listen to it, I'm like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah, you get excited when you see it. Yep. When you sent that to me and I popped it up in Sonic Visualizer, I'd not seen that in the past. I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? And I was like, and I remember how excited you were when you said, oh my gosh, you gotta check this out. I know you're a jaded researcher at this point, but man, that was really exciting on my end to hear. So let's go ahead. Let's play that. We're going to loop it a couple of times, and we'll sit back, take a listen, make some observations on the other end. So we just listened to that howl. We had looped that a couple of times. For reference, folks, this is not... Now, Chris had talked about this potential target subject making these vocalizations, this howl. There are four in total. This is the best of them. You know, if you do want to hear... I think, Chris, do you have some of these posted on Tootle River Valley Skookum?
I do, but they're going to sound really distant, Warren. I have the entire clip from the coyotes.
Yep.
Until this thing howls, and I want to say it's a really long clip. I can't remember how long it is. It's maybe 5 minutes long, maybe longer.
Yep.
Okay. And there's a lot of dead space in there because it's the original unaltered clip of it, and it has the other howls in it, but that's the only one that has the other howls in it. Okay. One of these days, I want to get a program that I know others have so I can play with those other howls that are a little further away.
So when you and Rebecca, when you were leaving the area, you said it was about dusk that you were leaving.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's better that you weren't there when it happened? Do you feel like you might have stepped on the sound, somehow got excited? Is this one of the cases? No? You wanted to hear it real time?
No, because the recorder that recorded it was 3/4 mile away from us.
Wah, wah.
We had just dropped that audio recorder off, so it was 3/4 mile away from us. But it picked up the coyotes that we heard. And those coyotes were actually, I want to say they were close. They sounded closer to us than what the recorder recorded, so yeah.
I want to play that sound one more time, and I want to see if there's anything that other people pick up on. I'm going to play this, and we're kind of playing a little audio game with your ear, but listen to this and tell me what you hear within that whole sound. Now, Chris, you pointed out to me, I didn't hear it. We were able to pull it out of the recording itself. But what do you hear at the end of that recording? Because I hear a whoop.
You're going to hate me. I hear a whoop. Okay. For the last 2 years, it'll be 3 years in May, I've always said it sounds like a whoop. And it does. It sounds like a darn whoop. But visually, it looks like a percussive.
Now, come on. I think we're going to have our first disagreement here, because I don't know. That clearly goes whoop. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. I'm pretty positive it's a whoop, but some people hear things differently, and I know David Ellis pointed it out as being a percussive. And if you look at it just visually, and I didn't hear it, I would say that's a percussive.
Really? All right. Yep. Well, we'll have to agree that I don't know, and you're probably right. But it just sounds like a whoop, and it's really strange. But that is a great point, Chris. We all hear things differently. And it's almost like that Yanni or whatever thing you might hear. You may have the thing that was going around a couple of years ago. Do you hear Yanni or do you hear what? I forget what the thing is, but it's just how you perceive the sound. So, yeah, I'll play this one more time now that you guys have reference, and then you can kind of just listen and hear what Chris and I are talking about. All right, that's the howl. That's what we've talked about. I think we've covered off on that pretty well. What I would like to talk about now is line us up in the recording that you call Mr. Grumpy Pants, which is just, I don't know, it's just the strangest vocalization I've ever heard. It sounds like something talking gibberish. It's not a yell. It's close proximity to the recorder. Set us up for, you know, when that was recorded, you know, your thoughts, you know, was that X1, another area? So just like I said, just bring us into your world.
So that was in area T1, and that is near X1. It was January of 2016. It was kind of funny. A friend of mine was living in a fifth wheel trailer on another friend's property. And he had contacted me in just before Thanksgiving of 2015 and told me, hey, man, I'm hearing knocks out here. And he had told me he had had another experience where something growled him in the woods. And to be honest, I kind of blew him off. And I said, well, I'll come out and check it out. So I finally did. And actually, I put recorders out by his place in December. And sure enough, I picked up some suspect percussive stuff. I was like, okay, well, maybe he is hearing something. And beginning of January rolls around. It was, I want to say this was January 3rd. January 1st, I picked up another interesting piece of audio where I had whoops and knocks going off, but they were distant. But so this is January 3rd, and where I was putting my recorder was right across from my buddy's house in a marshy area. And his property butts up against Weyerhaeuser property. So he's on the outskirts. And it's as the crow flies, it's only, you know, 13 miles from X1. It's quite a bit further if you were to try to walk, and it's about 40 minutes further if you drove. But I had hypothesized at the time, and I still do, that they move up and down with the snow line. And there are reports lower elevations in that particular area in the wintertime. So put my recorder out. It was snowing, and in the recording you'll hear what sounds like rain, but that's actually snow hitting my mics.
Yeah, I was going to make note of that just to let everyone know what that was. Yep.
And of course a freaking airplane was flying overhead.
Our arch nemesis.
Yeah, the airplane was gone when it made the vocal. It's been suggested to me by several people that it was pissed at the airplane, but I don't think so. But it was 7:37 p.m., so it was dark out, and there's a couple whistles if you listen. There's several whistles before it. I'm kind of thinking that it was two individuals. There was someone making the whistle kind of noises and then someone saying, shut up. That's just my impression. I have no idea. It could be just one individually total, but it's like I call it Mr. Grumpy Pants because it sounds grumpy. And what's interesting, after that, I picked up a lot of percussive that night. And something was, Mr. Grumpy Pants was fairly close to my recorder. And I actually picked him or her up breaking a tree, an alder tree. And I found that alder tree. And I also cast a impression, once again, perpendicular to a trail. Interestingly enough, I couldn't indent more than a quarter inch into the ground, and this thing went in an inch and a half. and didn't have toes, but it was, you could see the heel and the ball, the front of the foot, and it was 13 by 7 inches.
And dude, that's it was crazy.
Yeah, and it, so that occurred. So I had multiple things happening. I've got an audio recording that has this weird vocal on it. I've got a couple hours later this tree being broken. And then I go in there after hearing the audio, I start looking around, I find the tree broken, and I find this impression. So I'm pretty confident it's a target subject.
Awesome. So I think we've teased it enough. Let's get into it. I'm going to loop it a couple of times so you guys can hear it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more on the back end. Yeah, man. So as I listened to that recording, the first time I heard it, it was different than the howl. I actually got chills a little bit because it sounds like something talking and it sounds like something irritated. And, you know, man, if I'm in the woods and I hear that, I'm out, bro. I don't even care where I am. I'm gone. I don't even think I packed the tent. I just get the bleep out.
Yeah, I picked up a couple different vocals in that area around that. Actually, about a month or so later, I get another vocal that I recorded multiple times in that area. Haven't since. And it's interesting. One of my one of my buddies who hunts near that area heard one of those vocals last year while he was hunting. And he described it. I'm like, hey, I've recorded that. And when I told him what I thought it was, he's like, you just ruined my hunting, dude. Thanks a lot.
Nice. You're welcome. That's what friends are for. But yeah, it's dude, you go out in the woods and man, I mean, you've spent the night out in those areas. I know you spent the night out in X1 and you've told me it's creepy as hell. But man, I'm living out here in the Northeast, you're in the Pacific Northwest, and it is just creepy in those woods. Like, you don't know what's hiding there, dude. There could be cats down in under those ferns, like bears. Like Shane and I were actually hiking out in Oregon, but we came across a bear 5-10 feet away hiding in some trees, and Shane just happened to see it as we walked along the trail. It was kind of creepy, dude.
Oh yeah. It, you know, growing up out here, we didn't have the cat population or bear population we have right now, but in the late 90s, they put a lot of restrictions on hunting. And since then, both the bear and cat populations have exploded. There's a lot more of them. And I used to go hunting and camping by myself all the time, and now I won't. If I'm going, even hiking, it's best to go with someone anyways. It's just safer. A lot of people go missing, and I'm not saying it's all done by bears and cats or whatever. Accidents happen. It's just safer to have a partner with you when you're going in the woods.
Are you scolding me right now? I think you're scolding me right now.
I might be.
Well, because Chris knows, I just tend to wander around.
You go out by yourself all the time. I don't.
Okay. No, you got me. Yeah, it's not always the smartest thing to do. But in my defense, I do have one of those Garmin, Explorer X or whatever it is, InReach, and that thing's a beacon. So my wife is at least kind of happy about that. So, you know, if I'm at least dying out there, I can just hit that beacon and somebody will find my body. So that's, you know, that's closure there at least.
Yeah, unless the Bigfoot picks you up and hauls you off and leaves your in reach at your camp.
Yeah, what, to prove that I exist? Yes, I'll be here all night, folks. I'll be here all night. All right, so let's play the Whistler one. And this is one. This was early on. In your researching in X1, will you get those monotone whistles?
Yeah, and I think that reason that clip sounds monotone is because that was 2015, and I'd recorded the whistles, and they were distant from the recorder that recorded them. I'll tell the story in a minute. So, I'd sent the audio to David Ellis, and he, because it actually occurs over about a half an hour, and he condensed it into this one clip, all the whistles, and amplified them so you could hear them better. But basically at the time, me and my buddy were walking into X1. I had literally, this is May of 2015, May 15th. I remember the date, May 15th. We're walking in. We'd put a recorder out the night before. Totally brand new to this. Don't do what I do. I do everything differently now, but we're walking in. I didn't have a recorder on me, and we start hearing this whistling. It's like, it's sunny out. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, beautiful morning.
You can hear birds, dude.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
You hear this whistling, and where it's coming from, though, is down in this thick marsh area, and there's only one access point to get in there, and there was no other vehicles parked up there. As far as I know, there were no other humans there, but we hear this whistling, and it sounds human, but it doesn't. It sounds like someone trying to whistle but doesn't know how to whistle.
Yeah, that's, they don't, it sounds very airy, like, yeah, they haven't learned to hone that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, when you're a kid trying to whistle a tune, but you didn't know a tune, so you're just kind of whistling random. Yes.
Yep.
Whistle.
Yep.
So we start hearing that, and we're like, what the hell? And we continue walking down to where I had my recorder on this one stump, and like I said, it happened over about a half-hour period, and we were stopping about every 5 minutes or so, and we'd hear a whistle. And we get down on my recorder, and that recorder luckily picked it up, because at that point in time, I hadn't started wearing a recorder on my head. That's one of the reasons I started wearing a recorder on my head, because of that incident in 2015.
Yep.
Regardless of what anyone tells you, I'm the one that came up with the idea of wearing a recorder on top of my head, and it was because of this clip. Anyways, I look at my buddy Ryan, and I'm like, so we could either walk towards the whistles, or we could walk away and see if it follows us. And he's like, let's walk away. He didn't want to go in there. Because where it was extremely thick. And we had no idea what was down there. And now, I would have gone towards it. Now.
Knowing what you know now, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're cool. Whistles are some of my favorite stuff. Because I've gotten a lot of them. Up there, at least.
I feel like when something whistles, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, we assume that everything maybe a Squatch would do is for a specific purpose, you know, but, I mean, maybe like humans, maybe they just kind of whistle when they're happy, or they're bored, or just ate, and they feel fat and happy, and they're just chilling out. Yeah, who knows? I mean, I don't know if you have a hypothesis on that, but, I mean, it could be anything.
Well, I would take a whole new other show, but, you know, 3 weeks after that, we did go down in there, and we found where something had ripped up some ferns, literally uprooted the ferns. The fern root balls were laying next to this area where something had laid out, picked all the fronds off the root balls and laid them out, and it was flattened out about a 5 foot by 6 foot area where all these ferns were laying on the ground, and it was between two trees, and in the branches of one of the trees, 7.5 feet up, were some fern fronds that had fallen off of whatever had been laying there. Yeah, we found that 3 weeks later, and that was where we heard the whistles coming from.
All right, so let's play the whistles, then I have some questions on, you know, how you picked your research sites. You don't have to get too specific about where they are, but let's listen to the whistles. Folks, when you hear this one, this is probably going to be the hardest of the three to hear, only because of the ambient noise. And I'm just going to tell you, it is so hard to place microphones as sensitive as they are, and they can catch things from half a mile away if they're loud enough. The problem is you're going to get that ambient noise because you can't necessarily know where it is to place the recorder. But so listen to this. Headphones are probably best, but you will hear the whistles. You'll hear the birds, and then you'll hear these three, what to Chris said, sound like three different tones, but aren't necessarily the case. So let's go ahead and listen to that. All right. So we've heard three distinct sounds or behaviors. We've heard the howl. We've heard, which is a clear calling vocalization for whatever reason. But it's just this creepy sound. But then Mr. Grumpy Pants sounds like more of a target subject vocalization, close quarters communication with something that was, in my mind, and you kind of agree, was clearly irritating him. And then we have the whistles during the daytime. You hear the birds and whatnot. They're all forms of communication. And what I'm going to do is just kind of open up the floor to you, Chris. And I know this could be a whole show on this in and of itself. But tell me what you think those three things mean. Are they related? What have you, you know, I'm just going to kind of open this up to you to kind of give me your experience about what your thoughts are on those different communications.
Wow. Well, the howls were in the springtime, and I know from other people that I work with that record howls, they've gotten them in the springtime. Even recently, Todd Hell and Shane Corson got some howls at the New Nest area. And I think the howls have something to do with male-female communication. Just a thought. I might be wrong. It's my own thoughts. And in this X1 particular area, I've gotten some other vocalizations. There's one that I call the opera singer with a whoop. That mm-hmm. actually occurs the same year in August, and it sounds female. And like I've played that for some other people, and the reaction is, well, it's either a human or it's a Sasquatch. So that's one of my favorite vocals. Anyway, so I've always hypothesized in X1, I've got a situation with a female and an adolescent or a young one. For various reasons, I could go on forever about, including in 2014, there was actual sighting of a juvenile, and that was 3/4 of a mile away from where I record. So anyways, as far as Mr. Grumpy Pants goes, I have no idea. That's something not happy.
It sounds like somebody came home from work and is pissed about something.
Yeah. You know? I think whistles, the whistles, it can be a number of things. What you just played, I think it was possibly the juvenile in the area, and it was just messing around. I think at the last whistle, it realized we were there. 'Cause if you listen to the last whistle, it almost sounds distressed. It went from just kind of screwing around to just kind of a real, it had a hysteria to it, so to speak.
Yeah. Interesting. And I didn't pick up on that. Yeah.
But I've gotten whistles in other areas, and I've heard whistles in person, and usually the whistle is really short and sharp, and it's used as the same kind of vocal, I think, as a knock and letting someone else know, let them know that humans are here. I know that same year, me and Rebecca were actually walking in at dusk, and we had a short, sharp whistle go off, and it was definitely not a bird or an elk, and it was more like, hey, they're coming in, they're here. And I've gotten whistles quite a few times in X1, and some of them I'm not there mm-hmm. when they happen, and I've gotten them in the middle of the night. So it's not like it's just a dusk or dawn thing. I've got them recorded just after midnight. And so I don't know many people that go walking around them up there yeah. at midnight. So,
yeah,
but, on other campouts, I camped out with Shane in the same area that you camped with him this year, but I camped with him 3 years ago, and we had an incident where we were returning to camp, and we didn't hear it, mm-hmm. but I had 4 recorders out, and the recorder that was on the other side of this lake from our camp picked up a knock. I can't remember if the knock was first or after the whistle, but there's a knock and a whistle, and it was definitely, hey, they're coming back from camp. And it was a sharp, loud whistle, like they're coming yep. back to camp. So I think whistles a lot of times are are used in the same way Nox are in letting each other know that, hey, the humans are up to something or they're coming this way.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, too. And if you look at these signatures when you record them, and folks, again, when I say signature, you got to download Sonic Visualizer, and it's a free program. You can actually see the Hertz signature, and these things look a ton different than a bird chirp does, you know, or any kind of bird in the woods. And so, again, you look at it and say, well, it doesn't look like anything else, and I can't catalog it against anything else. And it sounds like it was purposeful to communicate. So you just kind of build these experiences. And like Chris is saying, you just, you know, some will be, you know, more interesting than others, but there's a sameness. And because there's a sameness to the activity and how it works, you can draw a pretty good conclusion, although it's still a hypothesis. But yeah, I agree where you're coming from on that.
The other thing, what's funny is with the whistles, because I've gotten a number of them, I actually sent some off to some actual ornithologists, and I actually sent some to Macaulay Library of Sound. Macaulay Library of Sound never got back to me. One ornithologist, he was really nice, and I'm glad he got back to me, but he obviously doesn't use a spectrogram. He listened to it with his ear, and he suggested it was an American scooter, which is a sea duck. The other ornithologist is connected to another research group, and basically I didn't get any info until almost a year later, and they just said, oh, it's a common bird. And I'm like, oh, you're a scientist and you're just going to tell me a common bird? How about a name of that common bird? I mean, stuff like that infuriates me. I get on a soapbox here, but you know what I expected when I sent all those out? I expected everyone to come back and say, that's a person. Because they don't sound like birds at all. Mm-hmm. If they sound like anything, they sound like a human being. So I expected every one of those quote unquote scientists to get back to me and say, you know, that's a human. If they got back to me, I didn't expect it even to get any kind of response. Honestly, I figured they'd say, oh, someone's joking around, sending me human whistles and thinking it's a bird, or they're really stupid because it doesn't sound like a bird at all.
Right, and listen to...
Yeah, it's a common bird, except it sounds like a human being. I'm sorry. You know, it goes back to, it's either a human being or it's a Sasquatch. It's one or the other.
All right, so let's do this, just to kind of wrap it up. I'm going to play all the recordings in a row, just so everybody get a frame of reference, and then we'll come back and we'll say our goodbyes and talk about the next show. So those are the sounds that we went over. Totally, they were all very interesting. Yeah, thanks, brother, for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing those sounds with us. You know, I know they're tough to get. You put a lot of time and effort into going out, placing recorders, coming back, doing the analysis, logging, you know, field reports and that sort of thing. So, I mean, yeah, dude, you were doing the work that a lot of people say or wish they were doing. So you've been listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero, BigfootGroundZero.com. Until next time, over and out.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find.
the year 35, 35. Ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 45, 45, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 55, 55, your arms are hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine doing that for you. In the year 65, 65, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too, from the bottom of a long glass tube. Whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been, or tear it down and start again. Whoa, whoa. In the year 95, 95, I'm kinda wondering if man is gonna be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give, and he ain't put back nothing. Whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 25, 25, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may.